welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. This is episode 125. So we had our last episode, episode 124, was all about roasting, underdevelopment, overdevelopment, all the roasting issues. And we actually had a handful of responses back. So on this episode, we'll be covering and responding to some of those comments, which I think were all valid. But yeah, before we get into that, as we always do, let's pour some batch brew.
Pouring some batchy. Man. Whoa. Easy. I can't even see anything. All right. How long ago was this batch brewed?
Just right before the pod.
Okay. Just making sure. Sometimes it's the temps pretty low.
We'll see. Also, I think the Hasami mug cools down coffee pretty well.
Maybe because the cup itself gets really hot. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think this is a bad brew.
Yeah.
I can't judge the coffee.
It's a little too fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty muted.
Did you brew Prodigal?
No, this was this is some Coffee Collective.
Oh, okay. Similar mouthfeel.
I don't know.
No? Or that... Is this a Kenyan coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's it, yeah. I mean, I've been brewing this. Shout out to Edwin Martinez from Onyx Coffee, who is dropping off some fresh Guatemalans that are about to land on our store. Dropped off some coffees for us and ended up passing on a little treat to
Jim,
to the mirror team. So this is the Kenyan coffee from Coffee Collective.
Nice.
I don't remember last time I had Coffee Collective, but it's I think they're pretty solid.
To be honest, I think majority of the time I've had Coffee Collective was either you got some gifts from Edwin or the Onyx squad or something like that. Like I
just don't see them.
I don't see them there often.
Not around the States. I mean, I think not they were
in
at
our area.
Yeah. Maybe they were at Revolver once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This coffee is, I think it's solid. I don't think it's anything super special. I've been brewing this on filter. And it's like, it's just a classic, like Kenya, solid, lots of tart, that current classic, you know, I don't know. It's not a standout Kenyan though.
What I do like is the aftertaste very long and very sweet. It doesn't drop off. And I like that.
It's got a nice like mouthwatering acidity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's solid. I wouldn't say it's like my favorite Kenyan, but it's also by far not. You know, vegetable soup.
No,
tomato-y. It's just solid. No complaints. So,
what happened to all those coffees that you would see flavor notes on the bag says tomato?
I'm sure they're out there.
I mean, am I crazy?
I just don't buy them.
That existed, right? Am I making this up?
No, like no, that existed.
Like there were bags of coffee that flavor notes said tomato.
We.
Okay, I sometimes think I'm crazy, but. Or buttermilk biscuit flavor. I mean, we've done episodes on flavor notes. So,
I just,
okay,
I don't know. Yeah, I just imagine like putting on like speaking of today's episode. Imagine like having your coffee bag and then one of the notes is like underdeveloped.
Oh God!
Hey,
Mark, you're really
grassy.
Lemongrass. You're really like, getting dicey here.
Lemongrass, paper, straw. High acidity.
At one point, I remember talking to Lance, and I'm pretty sure it was Lance. Lance, if it wasn't you, I'm sorry, but someone that was very prominent, and we were talking about adding like Agtron readings to the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, Actually, that's actually one of the questions. We'll just start there.
I'll dive in.
Somebody asked, one thing I think we need to tackle as an industry is how to communicate roast profile, weight loss, development time, because light, medium, and dark are modern, or modern to traditional isn't very informative. And I think that's a conversation. I think it's been kind of lingering around. I just don't think we've solved a, like, we haven't found a solution, because to be honest, if somebody put an Agtron number on there, I wouldn't even know what that, what it is.
Yeah. You have to look it up, and
I don't use Agtron regularly.
Yeah.
And as a coffee consumer, I don't know if that's
yeah. Yeah, I agree. But I also agree with the fact that we don't have strict definitions on color, and it's not even like you can't, we've measured coffees on our reader that looked quote unquote like medium or like darker. Yeah, I hate using these words, but you have more developed color on the outside, and it actually was not the case, you know? And then I've seen coffees that looked pretty light, and then I'm like, dang, why does this kind of taste roasty? Like, you know? So I think all of those terms have a lot of baggage and a lot of preconceived ideas. And then from a perspective of like selling coffee at a cafe, that's even more complicated because people are affiliating specific flavors, which I think is the best thing. Like when you're affiliating specific flavors towards a title of a color of a roast, that kind of makes sense. Like, oh, I don't like acidic coffees, I probably don't like light roast. That to me makes more sense than 100%. Saying like, you know, some other stuff that's floating around about different color.
100%. Yeah, I'm just thinking also is, you know, if somebody, like if you stumble across a roasting company that you're not familiar with, how do you know what they're, what to expect?
Yeah.
Like in reality, not many roasters put light, medium, dark on there. Oh. So if you come across just like literally like a random, an ad pops up, it's just the coffee bag. How do you gauge whether or not it's going to be light, fruity, medium, enjoyable, not unbaked, properly developed? Like,
how, you can't.
There is no way. No way. So I mean, I sympathize with, you know, all the, whether that's the home baristas, the people wanting to buy coffee, because, yeah, what do you even look for? Like, how do you, how, like, and that's
let me,
like,
let me get dicey. I don't sympathize with the home baristas. You know why? I don't. Not on this topic, not on this conversation, because home baristas have it like stacked. Like there is no roasting company that they don't know about. Like, and maybe I'm just talking about a very small niche, but home baristas have no excuse. The people that do have an excuse are the Mr. Coffee batch brewer people that are great, that are like actually paying monies to get coffee that they want to have an easy time with. How do they decide?
That's fair.
Right.
And it makes sense.
I think that's also why we don't see a lot of that niche group of people, especially the older generation, maybe the generation above me and a little bit more, are not buying a lot of coffee online, or it's rare.
Yeah.
Or just harder.
Or even people, I mean, our generation as well.
Yeah.
I think who are not home barista enthusiasts, it makes sense. Like I totally understand why you just go to either the same cafe, get the same beans.
Safe.
Like, hey, I like the, you know, brown bear, you know,
love blend, me a brown bear,
you know, or like, hey, you go to the same, go to a grocery store. Like I was at Whole Foods the other day looking at, you know, I was trying to find some filters there. It was like after hours. And so just seeing people look at the coffee shelf, I'm like, what the heck is going through your mind? And chances are you're probably going to look for, you know, a medium, light, and dark at some kind of identifier. And then you're either going to guess on a new brand, or you're just going to go with, hey, I like this white packaging.
Yeah.
Like, I've been getting their coffee for the last year. Why am I? And it makes sense. Like, I think from a roasting company standpoint, I'm like, I think we're missing out on a lot. And not because people don't want to maybe drink the coffees that we like. Maybe they just, it's just like, it, there's not enough trust built. There's, nobody's been able to guide them into. Yeah.
Well, the roasting is still this concept that's ever evolving.
Yeah.
There's like, again, like roast, how do you approach a roast? How do you roast? all of those things are ever evolving and have been. I remember, again, when I did the SCA course on roasting, mm-hmm. The things that were taught in that course, the professor would always, after a segment, would say, not all of this has been, you know, completely supported by science. I was like, sick. So what am I learning?
Yes.
Right? Am I just learning someone's opinion? Someone's like, there's not enough, quote unquote, scientific research done around these concepts that we talk about. Mm-hmm. So when you throw in color and you throw in terms that are very approachable, right? Mm-hmm. We can all relate to color. It's not ROR or you know, development. Or we can 100%. Relate to color. And then you murky that water up because there's not enough back-end data and back-end mm-hmm. science. We need to build language. That's one
thing. Yeah. I think one of the, you know, last note on this, and then we'll move on to the other things, but I think that's a big reason why we actually went with reminds us of on our bags. That was because we just interacting with friends, with local, you know, community people and those interested in our coffee. A lot of them just were like, how do you get those notes in there? How does this coffee taste like fruit? How did you put that in there? How did you? And so it was this concept of like, oh, okay. So people are not actually connecting the dots because they're just not enough information is out there mm-hmm. for them to know, oh no, this is just the organic natural characteristics of a coffee that we're bringing out. And also pairing that with the fact that, you know, when you throw in water, which we'll talk about very shortly, mm-hmm. when you throw in water, the type of brewer you're using, you know, your taste background, cultural background, history. All these things, mm-hmm. history, all go into the flavor notes. So what reminds me of blueberries might remind, you know, somebody else of a tea that their grandma used to make them,
100%.
You know, that was very cultural. And so thinking of remind us of is more like, hey, no, you don't have to taste these things, but it does remind us of. And again, with the hopes that it just gives a ballpark.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. and I think for now we might just have to, until we get a better way, for now, light, medium, and dark might just be, hey, here's a ballpark.
Ballpark, an idea. Yeah. Well summed up. I like that a lot.
Okay. question from our friend and fellow coffee roaster, Kyle Rozelle, says, I think something worth adding to this convo is water chem and how it plays a big role in roast color. For example, at September, we cup and dial a half-strength third wave water formula. With full strength, our coffees can show bright and citric, but with softer water, they sparkle with greater sweetness. It's a reason we send all of our subs these custom third wave water packets to experience the best of our coffees and how we intended it to taste. Same applies to for darker roasters and their water. Depending on general hardness and alkalinity, coffee can show roasty and bitter versus sweet and more balanced. And this will obviously change the way a roaster develops their coffee.
Yeah. I almost have no comment to add to that because that's so accurate. I mean, we did was this the episode that we talked about adding water packets, or we did a separate episode on water? I don't remember.
We touched up on that very briefly. And yeah, this topic, the stuff that he brings up, we've definitely touched up on. It's just sprayed.
Right.
It just mixed in with season throughout a bunch of episodes, but.
Yeah, for us, definitely. I remember when we started QCing with specific water. Because, you know, our roastery has great water for the most part. Mm-hmm. It brewed tasty coffee for us for the most part. And then when we started playing the game and comparing different waters and different builds of waters, and we started to understand, oh, we may be missing out on stuff. So what Kyle is saying is 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. And I think just to add, maybe we already added this, but to reiterate how important it is for a roasting company to not only provide the coffee, but provide the means of tasting what we're dialing in. Mm-hmm. It's super important. And it is a challenge. It's not easy. You know, you're not going to force every single person to use perfect coffee water when they're brewing your coffee. You're just not. But the having that access to it, having the addition to it on the website, all of those things are highly important. That's where at least our head is at.
Yeah. 100%. I don't think it's, you know, I'm seeing it more and more happen that roasters are providing specific packets for, you know, their specific roasts. And I think that it's definitely still a far ways out, but mm-hmm. it's gaining a little bit of traction, and we're stoked that we're going to be doing that a little bit more here soon. And but yeah, we've literally talked about that our roasting approach has changed based on the kind of coffees that based on the water that we've been using. And so not to say that the water at our roastery was bad, it's just giving you a different perception of coffee. Yes. One of the reasons why I did like that water so much is that it really gave this more sweet forward,
mm-hmm.
bigger body, kind of muted some of that acidity, not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. I'm just
calmed it down.
It down a little bit, which I lean a little bit more towards. I want something sweet, juicy. But then, so again, it's not necessarily a matter of good or bad, even though that could be the case. It's just like, how do you want to?
I mean, I have the same challenge when I was, and I still do, make the Rao Perger water from Jonathan Gagne. And I love that water because it brings out a lot of sparkle, like a lot, or more or less like big acidity, like the effervescence or whatever that word is, like the experience of coffee that way. It almost like a lot of the coffees I would have almost reminded me of, like, I'm diving more into wine right now. Mm-hmm. So I had a white wine that was absolutely like bonkers, like sweet, but tart, like a lot of tropical fruit. Mm-hmm. So that water helped me achieve more of that. But I could not get rid of the fact that my majority of my coffees really had this weird texture, and you always would comment on that.
Yeah.
Oh, you brewed this with this water. Yep, I did.
Yeah.
Couldn't get rid of that 100%. Texture, you know? So, with all of that said, it's like, yes, it is important for a roaster or a roasting company, to understand that water chemistry and to bring that to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to work with people who drink your coffee to mm-hmm. get them to experience what you're experienced through your dial-in, through your hard work. You're doing yourself justice, you're doing the people justice. Just fight for justice.
I reckon. And then Kyle also says, I know Discords like EAF have spreadsheets of water chem to roasters, which is, I mean, again,
are we on there?
I'm on there.
There.
I'm in that Discord, but we're probably not on the spreadsheet, but again, it's crazy to think that, you know, home baristas, which I think is cool, that they're actually literally having like, hey, this roaster tastes best with this water, which makes sense because, you know, from a roaster standpoint, you're usually probably QCing with whatever's at your roastery.
Of course.
You know, and so, yeah, I just think that's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's
really nerdy, but.
Yeah, it's great, yeah.
Yeah. So, just a side note. Somebody says, hey guys, love the podcast, but can we please stop saying tea like body? There's an immense amount of tea like coffee, commodity and specialty, with tsunami levels of body. I like it. Tsunami levels tsunami of body. Levels. What do you think about that?
Oh man. I think when I use tea, like I get it. I agree with this comment. It is a nitpicky comment. I'll give the person that. I don't even know who wrote it. Doesn't matter. Bless you. Like, no, I love it. It's great. I had a little inside joke in my mind. I'm going to move on. Okay. Anyway, I think it's great. I think when majority of the time when folks are referring to tea-like body, they're talking about something that's delicate. I'm not talking about thin, mm-hmm. but on the lighter side with mm-hmm. delicacies. And also with this, you and I share this common word, silky mm-hmm. concept, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when you and I are using that term, that's what we're referring to. Mm-hmm. I love tea-like coffees.
Yeah.
Like even going back and then before Mirror, I would always say like, I want a coffee that's tea-like, has light fruit and bunch of florals.
Yeah.
Like that's what I love about, 100%. You know, I've grown to like coffees that are less tea-like, more saucy, more jammy. Like I like those coffees as well. I remember even when Ward had one of our coffees, he's like, dude, this really tastes like jam. It's jammy.
Yeah.
And I like that too. But when I'm referring to tea, like I'm actually referring to some of my favorite coffees.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fair. I mean, that's, you know, that goes hand in hand with you know, some of the things that we, I mean, what we initially started the podcast with is like, how do we get this language thing across? Mm. Like, I think a lot of people in the industry, which is what we, why we've been using Tealike as like tea. I mean, what we see Tealike as silky, yeah, kind of light, you know, slight fruit maybe on there, and it's very kind of mm-hmm. airy. But yeah, then how do you explain, you know, tea that actually is more bitter forward,
like astringent,
yeah, strong tannins.
Yeah.
Again, like that's really hard to just say, hey, this is a tea, yeah, that tastes like tea.
Yeah. Are we talking about, you know, yeah, English, yeah, breakfast black tea, or right, Ceylon right, black tea, or are we talking about oolong?
Yeah.
That's yeah, a very big difference. So it's another one of those terms that's kind of big, an umbrella term.
Yeah.
That doesn't communicate much specificity. Mm-hmm. It just communicates in general, this is kind of where it's at.
Yeah. Which makes me think, what do you think about being specific on flavor notes versus being a little broad? Like, do you lean towards like, hey, this is literally like a nectarine peach grown on, you know, the, you know, grown specifically in California, mm-hmm, or, you know, as Justin Bieber says, hey, I get my peaches down in Georgia. This is a Georgian peach.
Georgia.
Or do you lean probably more towards like, hey, stone fruit,
yeah,
fruit, tropical fruit.
Yeah. I don't know. It's Georgia peaches or dank from California. I don't, yeah, know. Which one do you want? Yeah. I mean, I do like when things are specific, but I'm always skeptical when I read a bag and it says grilled pineapple. I'm skeptical. I'm not, yeah, like, I'm not saying, oh, you're wrong. I'm saying like, huh, I'm curious, with a lot of skepticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will I buy a bag just because it has like crazy, like detailed flavor notes, like, you know, Grandma Nina's like, cinnamon rolls? Like, yeah. Oh, who the hell is that? Like, right, you know, right, what I mean? Right. I don't know. That's and fair. When I see like, even stuff, this is very nitpicky because this is a pet peeve of mine, seeing branded things on flavor notes. I'm like, how are you not getting sued? Like when it says Haribo Bears, like Haribo is a brand.
Right, right, right.
Jolly Rancher is not a flavor. It's a brand of a candy that has a flavor.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And so stuff like Hershey's, like, mm-hmm, like how, I don't know. That's the thing. Do I like that? I think it's kind of neat. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But is it a selling point for me? Probably not. Now, if you throw on Mayer lemon or regular lemon, I'm sold on the Mayer lemon. I don't know. I'm a complicated human here.
I don't know.
Thoughts?
I don't know. The Mayer lemon gets me. I'm like, what the hell does a Mayer lemon
taste like? I was
just
joking
like?
Too, but I know, but you've
used
joke.
That yeah, plenty used of that. Times where I'm like, yeah, dude, what?
Yeah. Key I mean, lime
this
pie?
This is like, this is like lemon, like if you like a lemon peel, but then maybe it's the skin of the lemon peel. Maybe it's the out. Is it the inside of the lemon peel or the outside? Is it the white lining on the lemon itself? Like, yes, is it lemon juice?
Lemon
is it
chaff?
Lemonade?
Like, yeah.
Oh man.
Lemon. Well, I will say, there's a big difference when you say lemonade in my mind,
yeah,
or when you say lemon, because
right,
lemonade. I mean, I automatically think simple syrup, lemon simple syrup. That's what goes on in my mind. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would perceive a coffee differently. Now, I think it would be very bold of someone to put something like lemonade, or even we've seen simple syrup. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm like, you really developed the F out of that coffee to get that simple syrup out.
Yeah.
Like properly. I'm not saying like developed as in you made it very dark, but that has to have some proper sweetness on it.
Right.
Right. Right. Or am I crazy?
No,
so
for
I'm,
sure.
I get kind of skeptical, but then I get again, intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to kind of land this plane on this whole roasting thing, you know, let's give out some flowers to some other roasters out there in the world. Don't name the common name that you hear on the pod. There's only one name you can't name.
Mir?
No, that we can name. There's one other name we can't name because we've talked about them so much.
Starts with P, ends with Audigal.
No. Give out some roses. Who do you think does roasting, wording, and development really well? that you've been really enjoying.
You mean like labeling properly?
Labeling, but I think everything. Just everything, like labeling. Yeah, in general. QC, we talked about some water things. We talked about, you know, not under or overdeveloping on the last podcast. Call out some names. Other than you know, obviously we're biased to Mir. We have some tasty bangers dropping
soon.
We're just waiting on labels. I don't know where the heck they are.
It's been
like
month?
$700 like, bucks for them or something, and I'm like, cool, all right,
gosh dang it.
Any day now, folks. So other than that,
yeah, okay. Do you remember one of our early episodes of the year, and I said that this coffee from Prodigal will be my favorite coffee of the year? It went from number one to number two, I think.
Okay.
So that's all, but still, that's a big shout out to Prodigal.
Yeah.
100%. You're meeting my standard, Scott. Thank you. Mark, thank you. Like the other Mark. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. That coffee, again, I think development, everything I like, even green coffee buying, like all of everything, packaging, the flavor notes. I don't know. Do you still have that background?
No, I don't know.
The Mame coffee.
Oh, the Mame coffee. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe the coffee of the year for me. Absolutely incredible. In general, I mean, the cool thing is I work with so many different coffees every day. So I get to taste a lot of roasters. But I would say...
the right person to ask then.
Yeah, I would say Ilsa slays. It's they're just killing it. Sourcing is great. Coffees are usually clean. They don't even run a lot of naturals. Do you remember the last time you had a natural from Ilsa? I don't.
Yeah.
So coffees are great. Lovely design. Lovely packaging. And everything on the... Even the way they kind of put the flavor notes into a paragraph. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of hidden. So you have to like dive into the paragraph to get the flavor notes.
Right.
But I think for the most part, their flavor notes have been fairly accurate for my palate. So I really like that. And then finally, I've only had this roaster for like 3 months once or, you know, at work. That is, and that's Kawa. Like the Sudan Rumi, right? Was one of my favorite coffees back then as well. It was insane. That's kind of things. I named a lot of companies, like four or five right
that's
now.
That's great. I think Prodigal slaps. But we also talk about them enough. I think, the Mame coffee was bonkers. Yeah. I think it was iconic on the... There was a few batch brews iconic on the pod. That was one of them. Absolutely outstanding. Also, my cafe experience there was unreal. Had excellent service. Just beautifully, everything well done. I think also, actually... I recently bought a bag of, like 2-3 months ago, of Luna, of the Cordoba coffee, which happens to be a coffee, you know, that we will be dropping very, very soon. That was excellent. That was, we cupped it and it was like, okay, this is, reminds me of the Mame coffee, actually.
Yep.
It has some similarities, but has a lot of those same characteristics that I absolutely loved. Yep. So Luna...
Yep.
Luna's good.
Side note, that Mame coffee was not a Geisha.
Yeah, yeah.
So pink for all the bones. Folks. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think last I'll go with is, to a certain extent, DAC. DAC is a ripper. Honestly, they've been proving themselves time and time again. The only thing is, I think some of their coffees are pushing on processing a little bit. It's not rubbing me the best way possible. That's just a preference. But other than that, DAC has just been, I mean, just slaying, dude. Slaying.
Yeah. So I've had majority. We had a lot of DAC at Coffee Fest.
Yeah.
At Deeply.
Oh, cool.
The squad
cool.
And great, solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't be happier. I mean, killed it.
Yeah. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us once again on another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Friends, drop your favorite roasters down below, which you've been enjoying. But otherwise, I think that's a wrap. And remember, as we always say, reflect what's good.